You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Amanda Harrison here with Ron Kitchens, CEO of Southwest Michigan First and our leadership guru. Today's podcast is about some uncomfortable stuff that comes along with leadership, like tension, conflict, how to deal with critics, but all things that leaders at every level have to face. So if we have to face it in our leadership, we might as well talk about it. Ron, I know you've written about some of these topics in your blog. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of each one of these things, what is the 30,000-foot view of leadership, and why is it often uncomfortable?
You know, it is tough to be a leader out there. The rewards outpace, in my mind, all the toughness. But we have to understand that, you know, people want to be a leader because it seems glamorous, or you get paid well, and amazing access to people or leaders or products. But it's also really stressful and a lot of times really lonely. It's a heavy weight. I can remember a few years ago when we added a new member of our team and we're at dinner with my wife and daughter and I. And I was talking about it. My daughter, who was probably a freshman in high school at the time, said, well, there's one more mortgage you're responsible for. And it really hit home to me that I am, as the point leader, responsible for not just that team member, but for their families and their future. They've committed that to me when they committed to join our team, and I owe them that level of responsibility. And we need to be clear, this podcast isn't meant to discourage leadership. It's really meant to encourage and lift up leaders, but let's acknowledge that it's tough out there, and there are strategies to deal with it, and you've got to have a plan before a crisis comes, before these things pop up, if you're going to be able to deal with them in a way that lifts the organization up and builds you and doesn't let it destroy you or your team.
Great. So let's dive in, starting with tension. Talk to me about tension in leadership and why it's not always a bad thing.
So a great example, and I think I wrote about this in a blog, was that I was in Chicago a year or so ago, and Nick Walenda, the amazing tightrope walker of the famous Walenda family, was walking from skyscraper to skyscraper in Chicago across the Chicago River. And so I happened to come into town that morning and saw him stringing this cable, and the cable had a lot of sag in it. I thought, how's that guy ever going to walk on that thing? I mean, it just hung down like a limp string. And then as I watched throughout the day, they began to tighten it and bring more and more tension on it. So my assumption was for him to walk on that, that thing had to be perfectly tense. It had to have no bow in it. But yet when it was time for him to walk, the line clearly had a loop to it. It clearly had enough tension to allow him to walk on it, but enough slack that he could maneuver and manage for his own weight and the wind that was on it and that pressure. And it really, for me, was a discovery that we have to have the right amount of tension if we want to succeed in our leadership, just like he had to have that kind of right amount of tension to successfully walk from one skyscraper to the other. But, you know, humans, we don't like tension. There are a few people that I've known in my life that like tension. They like that confrontation. Those are generally not people that I want to hang out with. They're not people that make me or their organizations better. So really, when I look at my role as a point leader or any leader in an organization, it's got to be my job to set what the correct amount of tension is, but always be adjusting it to make sure we're adjusting for the conditions of which we're operating.
Great example. So some tension is necessary, it sounds like, in order to accomplish those goals and get to the other side of the wire, but too much tension can create conflict, like you mentioned. So what about conflict? Is there any redeeming aspect to conflict in leadership, or should we avoid it entirely?
Conflict is inevitable, and some of it's healthy. You know, one of the things we do is we have a program called Catalyst University. And so it's a very large series of leadership programs that culminates in a big annual event. So we have multiple teams who work on that program. One of the teams is responsible for ticket sales and sponsorship sales and meeting sponsors and guests' expectation. Well, the other team is responsible for budget and execution of the program, and they're mostly aligned. But there are things that we have to make a decision. Do we spend more money on knowing that it will benefit our audience? It will exceed their expectations, but it'll hurt our bottom line on the event. So we have teams who are always pushing and pulling on each other of what that correct amount of tension is. Now, what we have to do is make sure it's very healthy and that we remember in the end, our ultimate goal are those leaders who are coming through the door that we want to see at the end of the day, walking out the door, who are better leaders, who are more empowered. And so as long as the tension's built around common goals and expectations, then that's great. And, you know, somebody that you and I both read and know and love is a Bob Goff. And Bob has this saying that we'll be known for our opinions, but remembered for our love. So when we're in conflict, when we have this tension in our organizations, we've got to remember those words of Bob's, that it's great to have an opinion, it's great to fight for what you believe is right, but in the end, it's about delivering on our commitment, our love for each other, and our love for those who we serve.
Yeah, that's a great quote. It's something that I definitely try to keep in mind when I want to be right and I want to share my opinion, but you know, it's better to love and be kind in that process. So my experience and observation has been that leadership involves also a lot of tough decisions. And by nature, decisions only tough when there's some level of conflict or adversity involved. And I know that we've discussed decision-making at length in other podcasts, but really quickly, how does making tough decisions relate to this conversation on uncomfortable leadership?
I think the first thing is leaders have to think these things through. So we have clear boundaries at Southwest Michigan First. If you cheat, if you steal, if you victimize somebody, if you have unethical, morally bankrupt behaviors, you're gone. I have no stress as a leader about that. Now, I may have stress trying to do your job and fill that, but we have clear boundaries that can't be crossed. We never cross them. And so that's really important as a leader to know where boundaries are and to pre-think what your decisions are going to be on that. And those leaders that I coach, those that I mentor, you know, we use things in real life. What are the headlines of the newspaper? And how would you deal with this as a leader? So that takes a lot of the stress out of leadership when we're thinking these through. But it's also understanding that you know what the goals are and you communicate those. Too many times I see leaders and organizations get in trouble because they're unhappy, but nobody can tell me why they're unhappy or what should have been done about it. And so there's no measures, there's no coaching. So, you know, one of the things we do as an organization is every member of our team has a 40-day plan. Every member of our team is held accountable to the goals of 40 days and their annual goals and metrics. And so as a leader, I don't have to tell you you're doing a great job or a lousy job. I ask you, how are you doing against your plan? And people are self-reporting. They know what that is. So then I get to be positive. I get to coach you and say, what are we going to do? You also know that if you don't hit those numbers for a certain period of time, we're going to have a really tough conversation together. But the funny thing is most people initiate that conversation with me. I don't have to initiate it with them. So by setting high standards, by being clear on the standards, and by communicating those, it really takes away a lot of that stress that we're going to face as leaders. Now, there are going to be things that happen that we've got to deal with, but we're in a much better place to do that.
Yeah, being prepared is great advice, and thinking ahead, having a plan, all of that is fantastic. But what about tips for leaders when conflict does arise? What can they do to better manage those situations?
So I'm lucky. I have a great board chairman, Bill Parfit, and one of the coachings that Bill gave me 4 or 5 years ago was that people don't necessarily have to have their way, but they do have to be heard. And if you don't give them the opportunity to be heard, they're going to force that through their behaviors, through their use of resources, through their success or failures. They're going to get their point across. So as a leader at any level of an organization, we have to make sure that people have the opportunity to be heard and the opportunity to participate at appropriate levels in decision-making. It's a common thing for all humans. And really, it comes back to this communications piece that's so critical. And then we also, as leaders, and I'm guilty of this, you know, we go into a lot of situations, and I already kind of know what I want to do. So a lot of times I'm asking for input, but I'm not really listening. And so then I will get a little frustrated that we're going in a different direction and it doesn't make sense. It's just allowing people to be heard. And so then I will, well, okay, I've heard enough. We'll just cut the decision off. You know, and I think Robert Frost said, you know, never cut what you can untie. And so I encourage leaders to think through timelines of leadership and to make sure they're writing themselves out a script, whether in their own mind or physically. For me, I physically have a script when we're brainstorming, when we're working on problems, so I know the steps that it has to go through. Because if you just cut through those steps, people still aren't going to feel engaged. They still aren't going to feel empowered. They still aren't going to feel valued. And when you do that, then everything else you've done is for naught.
Yeah, that's great advice, especially for coping with conflict with people in your same team or people who have that same mission in mind that you do. But we are talking about uncomfortable leadership, so I'm going to come back at you with another one. What do leaders do when they're dealing with critics? So people who aren't trying to make you better, they're not trying to make your organization better, but they're really just tearing things down.
Well, to quote the poet of our times, Taylor Swift, you've got to shake it off. You know, I had a leader call me at home who's leading a top 10 economic development organization in the country. He's a really respected leader and really was calling me. I could tell he was really brokenhearted. And it was about hateful things being said in the comment section, attacking him, attacking his family. You know, it was awful stuff. And wanted to know how to do it. So the first thing is, don't read the comment section. Nobody who loves you, and repeat that one more time. Nobody who loves you, who wants the best for you and your organization, is writing in the comment section of an online article. So quit reading it. There's nothing good that's going to happen. Nothing positive is going to come out of that. Haters are going to hate. Now, which isn't to say that leaders shouldn't get feedback, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but leaders understand that you have to weigh feedback and critics don't measure it. So somebody's sitting in their parents' basement, got off work early, and so they're banging out under 10 different aliases on these comment sections. None of them have anything good to say for you, nor should you be taking that seriously. You should, as a leader, have people who do love you, who do want the best things for your organization, to give you regular feedback. For me, I have something I call my personal board of directors, and I'm asking them for feedback. My own board of directors has a feedback process for me. Our staff, our senior leadership group, actually, it's from top to bottom, our staff, it's a selected group, has a feedback mechanism that they're working with the chairman of our board to give me feedback. All those things are important. But something I read, and I wish I remembered who it was by the other day, that said, criticism and accolades should be treated exactly the same. Both of them like fertilizer. You plow them under the ground to help you become better. But if you focus on either one of them, it will destroy you. And so this is one of those horrible things of leadership that we're seeing in our society now, where we have leaders who are, whether in the faith-based community, whether it's the social entrepreneurs, whether it's corporate America, but this anonymous hater feedback, I guess it got Taylor Swift a number one hit song, but it also is detrimental to leadership, detrimental to building our organizations, and you got to shut it off. You know, I can't prohibit our team from looking or reading and anything, but I make it clear to them that don't ever tell me about those things on there, because it doesn't do anything to build you as a person, us as an organization, and it doesn't serve the people that we serve. And those are the most vulnerable people who need jobs and need their families to have a future.
Yeah, absolutely. That advice to weigh feedback and not measure it is huge, especially because you want to avoid the distraction. Most leaders have too high of a purpose, too high of a calling to get distracted or be pulled down from that. So I think that's fantastic advice. Any final thoughts for today? Tough subject.
Oh, it is a tough subject, but I'm passionate about it. You know, I believe the greatest force for change is a job. But it takes really amazing leaders to make that happen, really amazing corporate leaders, community-based leaders, elected officials, you know, the group that I'm personally passionate about, who I'm absolutely raging in love with, are economic developers all over America. We've got to build them up. But as John Maxwell would say, everything rises and falls on leadership. So you owe it to yourself to build a great leadership in yourself, in those people who you are leading, in those companies you're serving. Building great leaders is fun. It is incredible to see the results of it, but it is hard work. And so you've got to know, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle those tough days? How are you going to make sure you're putting yourself in a healthy place so you can lead? And I hope we can always continue to move forward together.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at Ron Kitchens.
Still listening? Want more leadership insight? I invite you to check out the book, The Year Without Pants by Scott Birkin. This is a great book about his experiences working remotely for WordPress.com and the changing landscape of workplaces. It's incredible when we look at the roles and responsibilities leaders have to take on these days that aren't traditional cube farms anymore. And Scott really gives you a great insight to what I think the future looks like.